Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, starting from verse 1.
It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Now that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to...
Last week, if you remember, chapter 11, St. Paul was a little bit angry or a little bit frustrated, and he wanted to prove it to those Corinthian church how much he suffered for the sake of gospel. And he said even... when he was ministering to Corinthian church, he did not take any money from them, but helped them freely. Now here again, he is trying to prove it to those people. I am not an ordinary man that you are thinking I am an ordinary man. He says, I saw a man lifted up to heaven. And somebody said, what man he is talking about? He is talking about himself. He says, God lift me up into heavenly places. But I don't know I was there in bodily form or I went in the spirit form. But one thing he was sure, that I know that man is me. And God called me to see heaven. And I went to heaven and I heard some message from God. But he says, I cannot even tell you what I heard. It is not lawful, it is not easy, it is not, I can say, man cannot even express the things he saw in heaven. Today you see so many people got a dream. They said, I was dead and I came to life and I went to heaven. And everybody says some different story. But this is not the story like other people are telling it. This is the man of God who was chosen to serve the Lord, dedicated to the ministry, gave up everything. He said, "I, whatever position I had, I gave up everything, and I think those things are trash." That means he is not thinking about the worldly stuff. He gave up everything and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Still, people do not have value for the man of God. Other day I was sitting there, midst of those dignified and very rich people, and one man comes to me and says, since how long you are serving the Lord? I say, since 1956. It's a long time. How much salary you take? I said, zero. And then the lady was standing there, how could you do that? I said, when I don't take the salary, that's the time I can serve the Lord from my heart. If I was taking the salary, I will not be serving the Lord, I will be serving the money. If the money is less, I'm looking for another job somewhere else. But I'm serving the Lord from my heart. That's why God answers my prayers. St. Paul is saying the same thing. I'm not an ordinary man. You thinking I am? I went to heaven. I saw Christ. I heard the voices. You do not even understand my calling. He says, I am bragging these things to just let you people know I am a man of God. Okay, let's read verse 5.
Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me.
So what he's trying to say, sometimes I boast about things, not my physical things, spiritual things. And that also sometimes I'm foolishly saying it. Sometimes you have to tell people what God is doing in your life. And sometimes when we start talking about the miracles of God, somebody says, you are bragging too much. You're not bragging about what you have done. You're bragging what God has done. We cannot do anything without God.
Amen.
The man has no power to do anything without God. But the word of God says we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us or strengtheneth me. We can do it. But without God, we can't. So now St. Paul is saying, I can only brag about God with about my weaknesses. I am just a person just like you and me. So in short, he's trying to say, why don't you just give me a little bit credit what I'm doing it? Okay, let's read verse 7.
At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure.
Now here so many people make mistake. When they hear this word that God has given him something or sent something to him, so what is this? He says, thorn in my flesh, and what is it? The messenger of Satan. Now, why God allows something like that? Now, people are saying these things is a sickness or disease. This is not a sickness. This is not a disease. When you say this person is thorn in my flesh or thorn in my neck or thorn in my life, it's not a sickness or disease. There's some troublemaker coming and troubling you all the time. That is from the Satan, because devil comes to destroy you, not physically only, but spiritually and everywhere. He comes to block the work of God. Amen. He comes to destroy the ministry of God. And that is the work of the devil. And so St. Paul is saying, if you remember, we were reading the book of Acts, studying the book of Acts, when he goes to one place and the people will come and destroy his ministry. He goes to another place, then the same town person will follow wherever he goes and try to destroy him there. And that St. Paul traveled to some other place, that one person keep on going and giving him hard time. So St. Paul was mad about this. One time one person came against him and he said, you will be blind for a season. And that man became blind. So St. Paul had the authority over these demonic forces. He could make everybody blind one by one. But that will be a bad example. Somebody says, this is a man of God making everybody blind. So he prayed to God, Lord, help me. Help me. This is an obstacle in my life. These people are coming everywhere like a thorn in my flesh. Why don't you take care of this? What God said. Let's read verse 8.
For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Okay. Now here when he's saying, I prayed for three times, and three times God gave him the same answer. What was the answer? My grace is sufficient for you. We got saved by grace. All the blessings came from heaven by grace. So God's grace is sufficient in everything what we do. So St. Paul got encouragement. My God is going to supply my needs. And I'm not going to worry about this enemy. The word of God says the enemy comes in one way. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 7. The enemy comes to you in one way. Means they come united to fight with you. But he said they will run seven ways. How come? Because God puts the fear in their heart and they run away. And the word of God says in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, he says, God is always with us wherever we go. And he says, we should, verse 6, he says, we should boldly say, God is my helper, what man can do unto me? So we have to learn our God is our helper and he supplies our need. He knows the enemy coming. So he said, when enemy comes to you, God raise the more standard, more power to you so the enemy can run. He says, no weapon can come against you, form against you, will not prosper. Means enemy has no power over you. Why? Because we have the grace of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, God has not given what? The spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and sound mind. So what the word of God is saying? To St. Paul, Paul, you're not alone. I'm with you. I'll take care of your enemy. My grace is sufficient for you.
Amen.
Don't you worry, Paul. I am with you. You don't have to worry. So he said, then I came to know. When I am weak, I am strong. When I am weak, that's the time God comes to rescue me. If you say, I'm macho man, I don't need anybody's help, nobody will come to rescue you. But when you say, I need help, I don't have money, could somebody give me money? I am thirsty, can somebody give me water? I need help. There is a saying in our language, the baby cries, that baby gets milk. If the baby doesn't cry, mommy is busy doing other things. When the baby starts crying, mommy thinks baby needs milk. Now here people give the bottle or pacifier in their mouth. But in India, they didn't do like this. They always gave the milk. No pacifier, no bottles. Hear the word of God saying, when you're hungry, what do? Call upon God. He said, open your mouth and what? I will fill in. So he said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Paul says, Lord, help me. God says, well, what Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going, but I give my peace to you. You will have trouble in this world. But he said, don't worry, I have overcome the world. So what he's trying to say, we are all overcomers. The word of God says, Jesus Christ is a conqueror. And he made us more than a conqueror. How did this happen? Because Jesus Christ said, I did miracles, I did signs and wonders, now I'm going to my Father. John chapter 14, verse 12. And he says, now same power is given unto you. So what do? You will do greater miracles, greater works than I did. So Jesus Christ was not jealous. Hey, why am I giving? He said, I'm a conqueror, but you will be more than a conqueror. So we don't have to worry about it. If you stay in my grace, enemy has no power to destroy you. So that's why St. Paul learned. Now, somebody says that was a sickness and disease. If the sickness and disease Paul had, Paul will not be walking and talking. He will be lying on the bed, right? He will be lying on a bed. There is not a scripture in the word of God that Paul was sick and lying on the bed and dying, and he prayed 3 times and God did not hear his prayer. He was not dying. He was running for his life and he was preparing the church for Jesus Christ. Last Sunday we learned, he says, I am trying to make you ready as a chaste virgin to engage with Jesus Christ. That's what he was trying to say. He was a busy man. He was not lying down and sick. Only time he said one of the co-workers was sick and dying, but he said, I thank God that God healed him. But he never said in his writing, I was sick and dying. See what he says in following verses, verse 10.
Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then am I strong.
He is trying to say, therefore, what is he takes pleasure in the infirmities. Now, infirmities, people start saying, oh, infirmity means sickness and disease. He said, what is his infirmities? He says, reproaches, necessities, persecutions. This was the thorn, not the sickness and disease. This was his weakness, that how I can overcome all of these problems. But as Jesus Christ said to his disciples, you will have trouble in this world, but I have overcome and you will overcome. That's what he was trying to teach St. Paul. Because when Jesus Christ called his disciples, St. Paul was not there. He came afterwards. So he is saying, I have persecutions, I have necessities, I have distress. What he is trying to say, when I have problem, I cannot overcome all of these things and I feel weak. I get tired of these problems. But God says, okay, when you cannot do it, I'll do it for you. Let me give an example. We want to buy a building, right? The $1 million building. And people start saying, if you want to buy a building, why are you going on the radio? Why don't you save the money? I can tell you, if I would have saved the money for 100 years from now, I would not have the $1 million. We are not saving $100 per even year. We would not have a building. So what I did? Start sowing in the kingdom of God. If I calculate all the money from what we program we did and what program we are going to do, it will cost me $300,000. So you say, wow, Pastor Peter is rich. He got $300,000 for the radio and buying a $1 million building. How it works? By the grace of God. Only God's grace is sufficient for me. Amen. And as I said, God fulfilled the word what I said. I said, this time when I buy the building, I will not ask you a penny. I will not ask you anything. When the building is got and the settlement is done, then I will show you the building and exactly happen. We already did the settlement. We already got the building. And today we are going to see it. That's what the word of God is saying. When I was weak, I didn't have the money to buy the building. I just depend on God. Amen. And God did it. That's what he says. When I'm weak, I'm strong. I'm not going to tell anybody to sign it. I am the only one person is going to sign. If you trust in me, give it to me. If don't, I don't need your building. I don't need your mortgage. I trust in God. And God did it. God did it. So what I'm trying to say, St. Paul is the same. He didn't have the strength to fight. He was weakling. He was a weak man. He was not a bodybuilder. He was a very small person. That's why he said, when I come in person, I look like nobody. But when I write powerful letters, so people were not afraid of him. So everybody start harassing him and bothering him. That's what he's saying. I just trust on God. When I'm weak, God comes to rescue me. When I didn't have the money, just think. When I had the $1 million to buy a building, do you think I'm going to pray day and night, Lord, I'm going to buy a $1 million building. Could you please help me? He said, you have $1 million in your pocket. What do you need? But anyhow, I got it. In short, what I'm trying to say, but God is in control. But if God is not with you, you cannot buy a penny's worth thing. The penny I had and gone. But is God with you, he will supply your needs. Amen. You don't have to worry. Trust in the Lord. The word of God says, do not trust in any man. Do not trust in any king. Trust in God. That's what I learned. Trust in God. Verse 11.
I am become a fool in glorying, yet ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, For nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing.
Okay, now he says, I didn't want to brag this, but you forced me to. I didn't want to tell all of these things, but you are forcing me to tell. That's what he said, I'm telling you this. What God has done for me, I'm not ordinary man. If the other apostles, I'm better than them. Nobody went to heaven and saw all the heavenly things, only I saw. That's what he's trying to say. I'm bragging this foolishly, but you forced me to. And somebody says, who made you pastor? You're not even qualified to do. If somebody tells me like that, nobody told me. But what I'm trying to say, if somebody asks me, then I say, sir, I have 3 doctorate degrees. You want to know? And I'm serving the Lord since 1956. You want to know more? And I'm not taking a penny from anybody. I'm serving the Lord free. That's bragging, right? But St. Paul said, you made me to brag. If you do not ask this silly question, I would not be bragging for my degrees. I would not be bragging about my qualification. I would not telling you I'm an apostle. I'm an ordinary man. But you forcing me to tell you this. That's what St. Paul is saying. Okay, verse 12.
Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds.
Okay, now he's saying, let me tell you another thing. All apostles called by Jesus Christ. God gave them authority to go and preach and heal and deliver people. And they did. But I'm not less than apostle. In my ministry, he says, signs and wonders and miracles happen. If you don't believe me, Jesus Christ used to say, if you don't believe me what I do. Same thing St. Paul is saying. If you don't believe me, I'm apostle. Believe me what I did. I did signs and wonders and miracles. Why don't you believe me a little bit? I'm also apostle. Don't make me trash. I am a servant of God. That's what he's trying to say. Okay, verse 13.
For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except to be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children.
Okay, now what is he trying to say? Listen, I do not want to give you burden. I came many times. Now he said, this is my third time I'm coming to your church. And he was not begging to this church. He established the church. Just like I told you, we ordained the people and they came against me. St. Paul saying the same thing. I give birth to this church. You are my children. And so you are my children. I came to you many times, but you did not give me anything. Didn't say, oh, pastor, you need this, you need that. I want to help you. Said you didn't do. Other churches helped me when I was in Corinth. Philippian church helped me. Macedonian church helped me. And they helped and they supplied my need. And I stayed with you and I took care of you like my child. But you did not help me. And this time I'm coming to you, I'm not coming to beg anything or get anything from you, but I am coming to you to give you something. He says, and he gives an example. He says, just like father, before he dies, he keeps something for his children. But the children do not keep anything for the father. That means children always take it from the father. They don't want to give it to father. That's the nature of the children. So he says, that's what I'm doing. I'm not asking anything to give it to me. I'm the father. I'm the one gave you birth as a church. And I am coming there as a father to bless you. That's what he's trying to say. And so he said, I will not be a burden to you. Okay. Verse 15.
And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved.
He says, I'll come, spend more money, show my love, let you know that I love you. But he says, even though I love you so much, you would not loving me. Just like a mother and father, they have so much love for children, but they don't care. That's the exactly thing he's saying. Sometimes people have to understand, children have to understand. You know when they understand? When they get married, when they get children, and when their children start giving them hard time, then they compare, oh, how my parents took care of us. That's what it is. It is not easy to raise the children. When they're teenager, it's very easy for them. They can go to the refrigerator and get the food. But when they are babies, helpless, and crying for milk, you know what other people do who are not Christian? They throw the baby out in the trash. They don't want to hear crying. Or choke them, or put the pillow on their mouth and kill them. Or before they come out, it's too much trouble for me. This baby is kicking. Let's go and take it out and throw it in the trash. That's what they're doing it. But the good parents, day and night, sit with the baby, change the diapers, and do everything for that child. When they become teenagers, 13 to 16 to 17, I know what I'm doing, and you don't know anything. You don't know even the tradition of this world. I have more knowledge than you. I went to college. You don't know ABCs. Who taught you ABC? We know much more than you. That's what the children are doing it to the parents. Children should be thankful to parents. See my dad and my mom. They worked hard. They loved us. They took care of us. And so, if the children today, they didn't understand mom and dad, that's not my fault. I did my best. Like St. Paul is saying, verse 16.
But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile.
Now, see what he's trying to say? I did all of these things. Good things for you. I came to you, I didn't ask you money, I got the money from other churches and everything. But what I found, you doing something wrong. Against whom? Against Paul. He found out, maybe somebody said, you know what, I don't like this pastor. He's a good man, but he's always says something, it goes to my heart and my bones, and I cannot forget this for weeks. He's a bad man. That's what he's trying to say. When I come, I saw you thinking of guilt. Go a little bit further. He's saying it's a little more.
Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desire Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit?
Now he's saying, you remember? St. Paul says, gather the money. I'm going to send Titus. And there is another man and another man. Three people are coming to gather the money. Like a loads of money, tons of money you're sitting. I'm coming and I'm sending the honest people to you to gather the money. And then he's asking them, did they do anything wrong to you when they came? Did they rob you? No. And then he says, all Titus and myself and other brothers, all the people came. We walk the same steps. Means what I told them to do, they did. They did not do any wrong to you. We are all the brothers and sisters in Christ. We did not do any wrong to you when I sent some people to Corinth. So he's saying, why are you people so mad at me? We didn't do anything to you. Okay, go ahead. Verse 19.
Again, thank ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying.
He's saying, you know what? We preach, we teach, and sometimes you don't like my preaching, you don't like my teaching, but I'm doing this to edify your life. I want you to be ready for second coming of Christ. That's what St. Paul is saying. Why I'm teaching you this? Why I'm pouring my heart? Why I'm shouting? Why I'm doing this? He said, I'm doing this to edify the body of Christ. So he said, I came to you, Corinthian church, to edify you. Don't think that I came to rob you, to take money from you, or do anything. My intention is to make you ready for the Christ. Christ coming. Okay. Let's read verse 20.
For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, stripes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumult.
This is what some churches they do. They sit in the church, instead of listening to the word, they murmur. They say bad about the minister.
Debates, envyings, wraths, stripes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults.
All these things you are doing against me when I come to you. That's what St. Paul is saying. So what he wants somebody to appreciate what God is doing through St. Paul. So in short, what St. Paul is trying to say, the man of God are there to edify you and preach and teach and bring you to the maturity in Christ. That's what the man's work is. Okay. Verse 21.
And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed.
Now he's saying, when I'm coming, there are some people in the church, he says, they never repented of their sin, and they are still living in sin, and those kind of people, I will have trouble from them. So what he's trying to say in short, before I come, why don't you repent? Why don't you put it right with God? So when I come, you would say, you know, we were against you, but now, please forgive us, and we want to be with you. We don't want to be enemy. We don't want to be doing anything wrong against you. You are a man of God. That's what he said, I want to hear. But there are people still did not repent. How many times? He said, this is my third journey. Third time I'm coming to you. And I do not want to see the same pattern or same things in your life. I want to see some changes. That's what St. Paul is saying. He says, you know, I'm coming here, but there are some people still there, never repented. People do not feel guilty. They do the same thing again and again and again and again and again, and they have calluses. And they think, that's okay, I did it yesterday and God was with me. I'm doing today, the God is with me, and tomorrow I'll do the same thing. That's not a Christianity. Christianity is a change of heart. That means the word of God says, first verse, he says, repent. John the Baptist says, repent. Jesus says, repent. Peter says, repent. Paul says, repent. And I'm saying, repent. What does it mean? Repent means turn around. Where? Turn to God. So God wants his people ready for his coming. St. Paul says, you didn't understand my calling. Well, let me brag a little bit and tell you what my calling is. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to follow you so the whole world can see Christ in us. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.